Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm excited. In fact, we've got a special treat in store for you. We've had him on before. Chris Markowski is our guest, consumer advocate, founder of Markowski Investments, and he is the Watchdog on Wall Street, watchdogonwallstreet.com. We've had Chris on the program before, and his knowledge in finance is both wide and deep. He has really made it his mission to out Wall Street on some of the corrupt, bad behavior that goes on. We were just talking before we started that, you know, there's a lot of radio programming out there that and commercials and maybe stuff you even see on television that's just misinformation. So I'm very excited to bring Chris to the program. And he is just, he's been at this for a long time. He's got a lot of great resources over on his website, Watchdog on Wall Street. Take a look at it, watchdogonwallstreet.com. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, listen, good to have you with us.
Pleasure.
I tell you what, I've got a long list of questions. It's not every day I have somebody with your perspective who can help us untangle this financial world that we live in. And, you know, listen, I don't know how much time you've got blocked off. I need about 6 hours, okay? All right. You're a good sport. Listen, I don't know if you have any particular things that would be top of mind for you, but, you know, of course, everybody is well tuned in now. It's like all of a sudden, oh, yeah, the stock market goes up and down. And so everybody's paying attention to that here of late, Chris. And there's lots of explanations of why that can be. Before we get into some of the other things, what is your take on some of the recent market moves? What do you see from your perspective?
Well, you know, first and foremost, whenever the market goes down, you've got the scenario where there's a great movie from way back when. I think it was 1980s, not 1970s. This is Spinal Tap, where they got to turn the amplifier up to 11.
Right.
They love turning the amplifier up to 11. Give it a little bit extra
when
you see the market go down, because all of a sudden you got to get everybody paying attention to the markets and the trillions of dollars that have been lost.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, my portfolio's down this past week, but I haven't lost anything. I haven't sold
it. You didn't sell it off, did you?
Okay. You know, there's a lot of that's played into it. And I don't know about you, but watching the actions of the market this past week, well, past couple, especially this past week, I'm frustrated with the real. I've always been frustrated, but it really ticked me off because the high frequency trading and a lot of the volatility in the market that is just, to me, is just really not necessary. When you see, you know, Verizon down 15%, GE down 20% in the first 5 minutes of trading, and you're scratching your head, so you're not going to get executed. You're not going to get that stock down there.
Right, right.
And you're told again and again that all this, these high frequency traders and all these algorithms, it's good. It brings liquidity to the markets. It doesn't. It just makes people more nervous. It just freaks people out to a greater degree because, once again, the news media has turned their amplifier up to 11. And I would stress to your listeners that, listen, you really got to tune a lot of this nonsense out. You know, what a lot of these people are preaching to you are not going to be in your best interest. And if you've got your financial plan done the right way and you've got a goal-centric portfolio and you've got a financial plan that's looking out for your interest, putting your interests in front of their own,
right?
You need not worry.
There you go. That's a nice. Okay. Well, thanks, Chris. That's all the time we have. No, that's actually a nice. You put a nice bow around it, and that really is what this is all about. And you know, everybody kind of acknowledges this fact, but it's just borne out every day that, you know, when we have 24/7 news cycle, you know, we don't have the old ABC, CBS, NBC station. You know, now we've got hundreds of stations out there, and when you've got a financial programming and all these different, even the political stations will tune in the stock market, you know, they got to fill all that airtime, and they can't just come on and say, well, you know, some random things happened today and the market was down 50 points. They can't do that. They've got to, you know, as you say, turn the amplifier up to 11. So there's a tremendous amount of talk and speculation, and they just go on and on and on and on. So, yeah, I appreciate your voice of reason there about tuning a lot of this out, because you know, it just is what it is, and corrections are a normal part of market cycles. And if you're in the market, you don't put your money that you need to pay, you know, for your mortgage the next month in the market.
Oh no, I mean that's absurd. And again, some of the anecdotal stories that you're seeing in some of these, you know, newspaper stories from around the country, and whatnot, and people are doing that, and I'm like, why? I mean, come on, people, it's just not smart. I mean, you know, you gotta look at the market, you know, over a 10, 20, 30-year period of time. You know, these short-term, you know, types of investments, there's no such thing. You know, you stick with the money market or your treasury, the liquid markets when it comes to your short-term money. But you can't go doing things like that. More often than not, they do. But, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, if I what was the kid on CNBC in the morning, I think if he asked one more person this past week, is this the bottom? I was about ready to throw my television to a wall because nobody can tell you that. There's never been anybody in the history of the planet that's able to tell you what the market is going to do next. They can't tell you that.
Well, what's so funny about that, Chris, is all you have to, you know, if you ask enough people, eventually somebody's going to get it right by just per chance.
And they're
going to
be a hero the next day.
Yeah, you're the hero. You're the prognosticator of prognosticators, right? And so, it's a show. And now let's get. So I appreciate your thoughts on that. I agree with all of that, and I'm glad you see it that way. And you know, in the market, you know, a lot of people were looking at how they were going to invest. They're rethinking it. That's not a bad thing, but I think they need to take that longer term view. And if you're getting ready to retire, don't wait till you turn your resignation or your paperwork in to get a plan together. You got to be planning years in advance, really, to get it done right, so you can be prepared for the kind of transition you need to make. I tell you what, Chris, let's talk about some nuts and bolts. There are several topics I'd love to get into with you, and I'll tee up a couple for you to think about. We'll grab a quick break and we'll come back. China, the dollar, oil, all of those good things. Chris Markowski, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today, consumer advocate, and you can hear it in his voice, founder of Markowski Investments. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com is the website. Quick break, more with Chris.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Just ask a stockbroker or insurance agent how you should invest your money, and what do you think they would say? Unfortunately, if an advisor is limited in what he can offer, that advisor is often understandably biased. You need to ask questions like what products and services they can and cannot offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This PSA has been brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we're back. Chris Markowski, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com. So, China, the dollar, oil. What? Start wherever you like, Chris. Let's talk about China. What's going on?
Well, you know, I can't tell you when the Chinese market was going to correct, but again, it was plain as day. And, you know, quick story, one of the more difficult times for myself, my company, my family's company, was back in during the 1990s when everybody all of a sudden in the United States was just so much smarter than I was when it came to picking stocks. And you remember the days when CNBC replaced ESPN on every television set and everybody was a guru. And if you had a .com attached to it, it automatically was going to go to the moon, and earnings didn't matter, and all that good stuff, until it didn't anymore.
Right.
It just stopped. Well, the same thing, in essence, happened over in China to some degree. You had a situation where you had a stock market that went through the roof. 80% of their market participants are individual investors. Well, it's not even 30% here in the United States.
Right.
And you had a lot of, you know, you want to call it what it is, dumb money flowing in, and that dumb money has flowed out fairly quickly over there. I mean, the similarities were extraordinary. They had little kiosks and trading rooms that people would set up and go and trade, and farmers and rice paddies all of a sudden taking all their life savings and throwing it into the market. I mean, I remember, you know, I lived in New York City during the 1990s. That was a point in time where you had E-Trade set up an entire building in Midtown. It was like a casino, for crying out loud. And they were all over the city because, once again, everybody was a guru and everybody was going to trade their way to wealth and riches and have their own island and tow truck drivers and own helicopters and all sorts of stuff. And it was right there, pretty much as plain as day, that this was going to happen.
Right.
You know, how could it not? I mean, if you saw a market that just skyrocketed overnight.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's story after story. You know, it's tulips in Holland and whatever else. You know, it's always something with this kind of stuff, with this strong, fast run up that's, it's all air and it comes crashing back down. And you'll appreciate this. I saw an article go across the news wire and I went and looked at it. It was about, you know, is asset allocation still an appropriate strategy? And I'm like, oh no. The last time I heard that being questioned was back in 2000 when technology stocks were doing what you're talking about with the .com. And, you know, you had these talking heads on television going, oh, asset allocation's dead. And why would you buy anything other than a technology stock? And, you know, I hope that does not portend of worse times ahead when we start hearing that kind of discussion on Wall Street.
Well, that's actually how I got my start in radio, is doing guest appearances on programs and TV, where I was basically the whipping boy back in the 1990s, where I was saying, I don't get it. Don't tell me in these buzzwords like new paradigm and earnings don't matter and all this nonsense. You're basically defying economic physics. I mean, there's a physics to it all. There really is. And, you know, whenever you're going to see people that they can, you can start defying that physics, you got to run.
Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah.
Excellent point.
All of a sudden, you know, next thing I'm going to tell you, compounding interest doesn't matter.
Exactly. Well, speaking of earnings, that's actually one of the other things I want to make sure we got to. So nice segue, Chris. Earnings, they do matter ultimately. You know, it's only so long that you can run a company without earnings and or have a stock market continue to climb. Because it's all, you know, the value of the market, as you know, Chris, of, or of any one individual stock is the today's value or present value in today's dollars of what that stock is going to give you in terms of stock appreciation and or earnings and dividends in the future. So where are the earnings? Are we beating estimates? Are we meeting estimates? Or have we lowered the estimates so low that they're easy to step over?
I think that obviously companies have always been able to become more productive over the past several years and do more with less. I think that we've insulated ourselves. You know, we haven't had stellar economic growth since 2008, 2009. We've been basically bouncing along the bottom, even though I think that could change very quickly with some serious, you know, policy reversals and or maybe lack of policy out of Washington, D.C. Maybe that's a better way of putting it.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, we live in a world where there's a lot more customers out there than there used to be.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more people to sell your stuff to. And this is completely unique. I mean, you could take a look at, you know, you're talking about China. Who would have thought China would be the country that it is today, going back to the 1970s?
Right.
The amount of consumers. They got more middle class people than we have citizens.
That's right.
So you got a different world you're going to live in. With all the problems that we have around the globe, the reality is that poverty in the worldwide has never been so low in the history of man. So we can hope that can continue, and then obviously companies and the wealth of the entire world can continue to grow.
Excellent. Well, speaking of trade, it's almost like you read my list here, Chris. Speaking of trade, how about the dollar? You know, it was getting much stronger. It's eased up a little bit here lately, but that obviously affects our competitiveness on the world stage. Are we going? Do you anticipate, or what is your outlook? You think we'll continue to see a strong dollar, or will we be able to overcome that and still reach all those, you know, billions of customers out there that could buy our good stuff?
Well, I mean, I don't have any problem with having a stronger currency. I think having a strong currency is a good thing rather than not. I always talk about products and being competitive. If you put out a good product, people are going to go ahead and buy it. We obviously know why China has devalued their currency, because they are more of an export nation than they are a consuming nation. And they're facing other pressures from around the globe where they're trying, they feel the need that that's the way to make themselves more competitive. It's not the way to go. You got to make yourself more competitive by putting out better products.
Exactly. Well, and on that point, you know, you can't have it both ways. You know, oil is below $40 a barrel. And that is for a couple of reasons. One, of course, everybody's got their spigots and pumps turned full blast. Anybody that can pump something's pumping it. OPEC, they're all exceeding their quotas. But then we also have, of course, a stronger dollar that's making it cheaper to us here in the States. So you can't have it both ways. You can't have a weaker currency and get oil cheap.
Oh, no. Well, that's again, China's going to be oil priced in dollars. They're going to be hurting, you know, based upon this. Yeah, you bring up oil, and, you know, everybody's kind of concerned at this point in time because of the lower price of oil and whether or not these oil companies are going to be profitable. And yet most of them have managed to lower their production costs where they're still making money at these levels. But again, it's another good sign for the future of this country. I mean, if you were to have the headlines that we see almost on a daily basis out of the Middle East back in the 1970s, could you imagine what we'd be paying?
Oh, Oh, well, you know what? For oil to be where it is, I mean, that cannot spell anything but other than good news for us. And I'm not too worried about those large oil companies. They are masters at making money and being good at squeezing and becoming more efficient. I mean, you know, and they don't have to make the same profit percentages when their revenues are just gargantuan. So I think they'll get through this just fine. And as you know, they're into all kinds of other stuff. They're looking down the road and miles and miles at a time.
Yeah, they're looking at the smaller players next door to see what they're going to buy.
Exactly.
You saw that happen this past week, and you got to continue to see probably more consolidation within the industry.
Well, and speaking of the oil and the dollar, we still hold the position, as you know, Chris, of being kind of the world's reserve currency. You know, you spoke about oil being in dollars, and you know, are we in the? It seemed like not long ago that was a big topic, and I haven't heard as much about it. That could just be that I haven't caught it or paid as much attention to that particular thing, but are we maintaining our place in the world with the strength of the dollar in terms of it being utilized really worldwide?
Well, I can go back again various different periods of time. I mean, we can go back to, let's say, remember the old Michael Crichton novel, mm-hmm. Rising Sun, and they made a movie about it. There was mm-hmm. a period of time where, you know, Japan was going to take over the entire world, and the
right.
value of Tokyo real estate was worth more than all the real estate in the entire planet. And, you know, not long ago, we were talking, oh, China is going to be, you know, taken over, and they're going to have this enormous economy, and they're going to, you know, be better than us, and they're going to trample us. And I'm saying to myself, wait a second here.
Right.
I said, shouldn't they have a larger economy than we do eventually because they've got more people? And why is that bad? Why is it bad that they're going to have, you know, wealthy people there that we can trade with and do business with?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
However, I mean, all these people were talking about, you know, China and Russia getting together. Oh, we got to come up with a new reserve currency and pricing oil in something else. Yeah, how is that Russian currency working out today?
Right.
I mean, these are not diversified economies by
right.
any stretch of
no,
the imagination.
They're not.
They are hurting in many of these places because of their reliance upon one thing, and that's oil. Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, these OPEC countries are in deep, deep trouble right now. Deep trouble. They can't even get together anymore and you know, decide on much of anything simply because they have no choice but to keep pumping because their deficits are so huge and they haven't diversified their economies. We're very different from that.
Yeah, well put, Chris. Very good. If you're just joining us, Chris Markowski is our guest, consumer advocate, knowledgeable guy in a lot of areas, and we're really fortunate to have him back with us. And he, of course, you may have noticed Chris is very good on the radio. He does his own radio program. And you can learn a lot more about that over at watchdogonwallstreet.com. And we'll grab a quick break. We'll come back and talk about another subject I know Chris will thoroughly enjoy, and that's quantitative easing, interest rates, and the Fed. So stay right there.
Are you looking for a trustworthy local advisor for your investment and retirement planning, but you're not sure how or where to begin? Start by looking for a certified financial planner practitioner. Visit www.cfp.net to search for an advisor in your local area who's earned this highly regarded professional certification. Pick 3 CFP practitioners. Set an appointment and interview them. Ask questions. Listen carefully to their answers. Check references and research their firms with the Better Business Bureau. This PSA is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
All right, we're back. Chris Markowski on the line with us, consumer advocate, founder of Markowski Investments. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com is the website, and taking full advantage of Chris's knowledge is here in a lot of great areas, and teed it up there for the break for you, Chris. I know that we are much anticipated quarter point interest rate hike in the fall of 2015, unless the conditions have changed and economic viability is not there. Always that caveat is with every single statement about interest rate increases coming out of the Fed. So if you had to bet, would you agree with me that we'll get a quarter point as just a sign of, hey, we're still here, and then not much else? Or do you think they'll just pass it on down the line and say, we're going to wait?
I don't know. From some of the statements I heard, but again, everything is so cryptic.
Right.
You don't know what they're going to do. You know, market conditions. that the, you know, they're not going to raise in September. I wish I could even make a guess, but again, it's like it's that moment where you're betting on red or black there.
Right.
You know, could go either way. There's no way you can make any sort of educated guess at this point in time based upon statements and based upon the history of the Fed. And I think that's one of the biggest problems we have. A couple of weeks ago, there was an interesting paper that was put out by the St. Louis Fed, with gentlemen within the St. Louis Fed, basically saying that the policies of the Federal Reserve have not worked. And I agree.
Right.
I agree.
Right.
I think it'd be great if money was priced accordingly, because then you can price assets a little bit more accordingly and bring a little bit more reality to the markets, to more people. Maybe we'd get a little bit more participation within the financial market.
Good point.
Again, you're a bank, and you know you can get money basically risk-free from the U.S. government 10 years at 2%. What's your incentive to lend to some homeowner who wants to buy a new house 30 years at 3%?
Yeah.
And
right.
We're told this lie all the time that, oh, geez, it's great for the housing market because we've got to keep these things low. Come on, people. A 30-year mortgage, it's just a function of affordability, what people can afford to pay. If interest rates go up, the price of the house is going to come down. It's just how it works.
Right.
You're going to have that type of relationship between the two. So you're going to be still making the same payment either way because that's what you can afford to pay.
Right, that's right.
So, you know, this whole idea is insane to me. And I'm a big believer that they say, oh, the Fed is not a, you know, supposed to be a political animal. The only reason I see why they've kept rates so low for so long is to basically allow our government to continue to roll over our debt again and again and again for next to nothing and continue to add it to it. We have interest rates go up. That's budget busting to our country. And I think that's actually what we need, because then maybe it would actually force our government to try to be a little bit more austere in their spending.
Well, come on now, Chris. I'm looking over here at usdebtclock.org, and it's only half a trillion, another $500 billion that we're showing as a federal budget deficit, even though we're pulling in some $3 trillion in revenue. Come on, just another $500 billion.
Record taxes. We've got subpar economic growth, yet record taxes going to Washington, D.C., and yet it's not enough.
Well, you're not paying your fair share, Chris. Did you hear what I said? You're not paying your fair share. Right?
Well, whenever I get that question when I go on certain shows that might not agree with me, is I always ask the people that are calling and I ask them, I said, how many months out of the year should I have to, can I work for myself?
Right.
Can I actually keep what I'm actually earning? How many months out of the year do I get to keep? And again, nobody will ever give you a straight answer with that, because it's just crazy.
It's too,
not to mention the fact we're pretty much in a state of perpetually paying taxes with all the embedded taxes that we pay and products that we don't even realize.
Right. It's interesting to see how this is being positioned. I'm going to go out there on the limb and say I think they're going to do a quarter point, but then they're going to pack it in and go home for a while and not talk a lot about it, because I think they need to show some relevance and maybe show some confidence in if our economy can't handle, Chris, a quarter point adjustment up. That's not a very strong affirmation or validation about our economy and how we're doing.
Yeah, and you know, that's some interesting points that were made, and that usually don't raise during an election year and all this stuff. Listen, you know, you got to slowly get this thing back up to normal. And again, I think it's going to be great for economic growth. You want to, you know, give incentive once again to lenders to start lending.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And you know, the other thing that's kind of the other side of this, or a twist on it, is even though the Fed might raise the short-term rates by a quarter point, there's nothing that says that that's going to translate to anything on the long-term rates. You talked about the 10-year note from the government. You know, who says? And I don't think there will be necessarily any quick jump in longer-term rates. They may hold those down with more either maintaining the existing posture with QE or even more QE.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. There's no doubt about that. I mean, more QE, I mean, it's why?
Well, listen.
I just don't get it. I mean, we need to get more velocity of money, and you got to get velocity of money. You got to get money out to the system. You got to give the reason for these banks to start letting the money flow.
Well, you do, and I think that all of this, you know, you have looked at this all through the lens of the financial questions I've asked you, Chris, and it's very helpful for me to get some of that confirmation of some of my thinking, make sure I'm looking at this correctly. And of course, the big elephant in the room, well, donkey or elephant, is that there is, whether we want to say it or not, or even, you know, dare we say touch on it, there is a significant political element to where we go next. You know, we've got, you know, we're at the very front end of this political process, and it is probably going to be, and I'd be curious to see what your take is on it, it's probably going to be one of the most fiercely fought and argued and maybe bought as well campaigns we've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely, every single time, they definitely seem to step it up just a little bit more. But again, you know, what's sad to me, and, you know, one of my favorite things to do is, you know, I donate my time is I coach kids. And one of the things you have to do as you're coaching young kids is you got to realize what a kid's potential is. You got to make sure that kid is, you know, hitting his potential, if not exceeding his potential. And right now we're not doing that. And that's because of, in my opinion, because of policy, because of the decisions that are taking place in Washington, D.C. I mean, there was a story came out last week. We're now ranked 20th in the world in freedom, 14th in the world in economic freedom, 70,000-page tax code, more regulations on top of more regulations on top of more regulations, making it more and more difficult for this country to be, you know, be dynamic like we used to be that country that was the job creator, where you want to go, where you want to build a better mousetrap. You know, there's better places now around the world to be
remarkable.
An entrepreneur. And to me, that's sad.
That is sad. Well, I'll tell you what, Chris, I appreciate your serving and doing what you're doing and helping us watch. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com is a website. Chris Markowski is our guest, consumer advocate. You heard it. And we're really pleased to have Chris come back and talk with us. Go to the website. Check it out. Lots of good stuff there. The Markowski Quarterly. It's a newsletter. And he's got thousands of people reading that worldwide. And I think you'll appreciate it. Chris, we know we appreciate you. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.